Hello, friends. I'm Rosie Acosta, author, mindfulness teacher, and wellness coach.
And I'm Tessa Tovar, producer, co-host, and your partner in Real Talk for all things wellness and beyond.
Welcome to the Radically Well podcast. This is a space where we break down the messy, transformative moments that make us who we are, because wellness isn't about perfection. It's about embracing the journey.
Every week, we'll tackle the topics no one talks about, but everyone needs to hear, like navigating hormones, aging, relationships, sex, and self-care.
You'll hear unfiltered stories, expert advice, and real, relatable conversations that empower you to reset your mindset, reimagine your health, and show up as your most authentic self. Whether you're here to learn, laugh, or maybe cry a little, this is your space to feel seen, supported, and inspired to live radically well.
So grab your favorite tea or, hey, maybe a glass of wine, and let's dive in.
Let's get radically well. Before you see our guest today, I want to say this. 91% of women are unhappy with their bodies, and this dissatisfaction often worsens with age due to societal pressures. So today's conversation is all about body image, self-love, and oftentimes how to navigate changes with all of those things. So today we have Lou Hazel in the studio. Do you want me to say Louise Hazel?
You can say whatever you want. You can call me Hazel, Lulu, Louise.
I love it. Welcome to the studio. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So for those of you who at this point know, some of you that follow me on Instagram, I've been going through a pretty rigorous health journey. And Lou came into my life at the perfect moment when I was needing, I don't know, what do you want to call it? A little upgrade?
More.
And sure enough, we're getting more. Yeah. And it's so interesting the way that, you know, it came together, and you were so gracious enough to have me on your show. And we talked a little bit about my journey, and those of you here, you're familiar with the journey of going into perimenopause and then being postmenopausal now at a young age and sort of the changes that my body went through. But I think a lot of what I have found in the last couple of years, this whole idea of like loving yourself throughout the process and being able to, you know, age gracefully and being able to accept your body as it is and all of these sort of ideas that are out there in the world of wellness. And we've both been in the world of wellness for a really long time. I really feel like it put me in this place, if I'm completely honest, where I was ashamed of wanting to change my body because, you know, I'd gained the weight and I felt like, you know, if I'm out here writing books about self-love and being all about self-love, but I'm not feeling the self-love because I'm not happy. And so like that simultaneous feeling of, I want to change. I want to be fit. I want to feel good. But at the same time, I don't want people, my followers, I don't want the outsiders, you know, like people on the outside looking in to think, oh, you know, if you're for self-love, why are you posting these body transformation videos? Mm. So that sort of idea, when you and I met and started talking about this, made me feel so empowered. Like, no, you know what? I do want to be at my optimum health. Like, I can still achieve more and I can still feel good. And yeah, so thank you for that. I appreciate that. This episode brought to you by Slay Gym.
It's brought to you by Bulgarian Split Squats.
Major. So yeah, look, I would love for you, you know, the people that aren't familiar with you, just to share a little bit of your background and Yeah, just your thoughts on that. I know you have many.
Yeah, where to start? For those of you that don't know me already, I'm a British Olympian. I competed in the heptathlon event, which is 7 track and field events, high jump, long jump, shot put, javelin, 800 meters, 200 meters and hurdles. I won a gold medal for England in the 2010 Commonwealth Games, and I competed in the London 2012 Olympics.
Hold on, let's give it a pause. Let's digest this.
Yeah.
Let's add a clap track, please. Clap
Absolutely.
Track. Yes. Thank you. Okay.
And now I'm the CEO of Slay, which Slay is a boutique personal training facility in Hollywood. We also have an online community, an online female fitness brand. Fitness has been my life since I was like 10 years old. And I wouldn't even say, you know, I'm not a fan of fitness. I am fitness. I was born an athlete. I knew it from a very young age. I leaned in hard. I never had to think about body image. Every single day, my sole focus was to wake up and ask my body, what can it do today? How fast could it run? How far could it throw? How high or long could it jump? And so I just had this relationship with my body from a very, very young age that was, I would say, less emotional, more detached. And my body was a tool. It got me from A to B. It got me from schoolgirl to Olympian. It got me from third place to first place. And it was no more complicated than that. And, you know, when I see people walk into the gym at Slay every single day, I'm always sizing them up. What type of athlete are they? Where do their emotions lie? What is their current connection with their body? And, you know, this might sound really controversial. And I think we talk a lot of the time, we connect societal pressure and body issues. We connect these two things together. And that's not to say that society doesn't place those images in front of us, but it's up to us as to what we absorb. And so I say to those of you out there who feel like, you know, society is putting pressure on you to look or feel a certain way. And this is the same way, you know, we're talking about getting in shape. You know, you felt societal pressure as to what my audience going to feel if I suddenly transform my body and, you know, start to feel healthier about myself. Well, you know, to be honest, it's, you know, it's really none of their business. It's more about you. It's more about your journey. And so I kind of want to help people reframe this whole kind of connection between body image and societal pressures and take the time to ask themselves, is it society that's putting that pressure on you? Or is it you that's putting that pressure on you? And where is this like disconnection come from? You know, if you're sat in a body that you're not feeling at home with, and let me make it very clear, it doesn't matter whether you're Olympian, Beyonce, or the everyday woman, everybody at some point in their lives will feel out of body. It doesn't matter whether it's pre-pregnancy, post-pregnancy, pre-menopause, post-menopause, your teens, post-college, everyone will get to a point where they feel uncomfortable in their bodies. We all have. Like, that's just a fact. And it's something that we, I think, as women feel, you know, we struggle with more than men. You know, I train both men and women at Slay. And so I've noticed that our emotional connection to our bodies is way, way, way deeper than the male connection. That's not to say that it isn't there for men, because it really is too. They deeply care. But for us women, our body changes very vastly differently at different ages, responding to different hormones and different changes in what's going on in our body. So I say, you know, is that pressure coming from in the inside, right, or is it coming from the outside? And if you're unhappy with your body, then you have the power to change it. Just like if you're unhappy with how you're feeling, you have the power to change your thoughts. It really takes me back, Rosie, to a conversation that I had with my best friend, you know, probably about 10 years ago. And she was talking about the magazines. This is how long ago it was, because she was reading magazines, right?
We're around the same age. So I know the magazine. I know the magazine.
You know, she's opening magazines. They're making her feel bad about herself. And I remember she brought a ton of these like trashy magazines over to my house. And she's like, oh God, just feel. I'm like, I'm going to give you one thing to do. Never buy one of those magazines again, because you're reinforcing this negative cycle and pattern of behavior that you're somehow not good enough because of the things you're seeing in the magazines. You're reinforcing that pattern, that neuro pattern of comparison. And that's making you deeply unhappy. And she genuinely has not picked up. That was the first time she realized that she consuming trash was making her feel like trash. And it was the first time she kind of realized and connected the dots. And so I say to those of you at home, like, if you're feeling uncomfortable with your body, that's a very real thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can be feeling uncomfortable for a number of reasons. You could be feeling uncomfortable because you feel overweight, unfit. Your health isn't where you want it to be. And people look at me all the time and like, it's okay for you. You're an Olympian. Well, I tell you something. It's not okay for me. I suffer with IBS. I have ulcerative colitis. You know, I've had really embarrassing moments in my own health and fitness journey that most people would just shudder at. Like, I genuinely have been in places where I've shit myself in a park because my IBS has been so bad. And so I want everyone to understand that just because someone looks like this on the outside doesn't mean they're okay on the inside. And just because somebody looks, you know, maybe not conventional on the outside or normal on the outside, mm-hmm. there might be the picture of health on the inside. And so the key is to really dial in to how you're currently feeling.
Yeah. God, you said so much. It's like, where to go? I mean, first of all, I think that I want to talk about just going back a little bit about what you said, how you can see somebody and kind of size them up as an athlete, right? And as a trainer and as somebody who is a professional in this field. And yeah, I'm curious for you. One of the things that I get a lot from women, especially since sharing this journey is, yeah, I really want to change. I've tried everything, right? And some of these people, like, I've seen in person and I'm like, okay, yeah, you've tried everything, but here we are on retreat and I see certain behaviors and I'm like, that's not going to help you get to where you want to go. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I don't want to sound judgy, right? Because that's not where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a place of like, yeah, I can clearly see that there are certain habits that you have that potentially are hindering you. I know I did. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I thought I was doing everything great. Remember my huge granola bowl, what were you calling it? Instagram ready?
Your granola girl. Granola
girl. Like my huge bowl of granola, you know, and I thought I was doing the right thing. But, and so when you're saying you're able to see somebody, you know, and kind of be able to size them up in that way, like I'm sure you're at a place now where you can really clock that, like, what do you do in situations like that when people come to you and they say, yeah, like I want to change?
I mean, this has happened so many times at Slay. I'm thinking of one person in particular, a client of mine who came to me about 10 months before her wedding. I've tried everything. You know, I've always had like, you know, an issue with my weight. My wedding's coming up. It's a big day. And this was like the wedding of the century. So she was under societal pressure. I say societal, her own pressure. And I was under pressure to deliver for her. I was really confident because I, you know, in talking to her, I'm like, okay, let's have a look at your body. And when I mean sizing people up, what I mean is as a heptathlete, I've competed over 7 events and I've competed with the best athletes in the world in their disciplines. So I've competed with the best shot putters in the world. I've competed against the best sprint hurdlers in the world. And what I can tell you is, and the heptathlon is an amalgamation of all of those things. So I've seen women throw insane distances in the shot put. And I know exactly what that takes. And I've trained with them and I've competed against them. And I've seen girls blitz me in the 100 meter hurdles. And I know exactly what that takes. And so these two body types couldn't be further apart, but they're both world-class athletes. And so what I remind people of in the gym is like, you have a body, you are an athlete, you just haven't found your sport yet. And so most people, shot putters, for example, let's say you have like a sturdier, stockier, just stronger physique. You were a powerhouse, you were a strong house. Like, let's imagine like you have that endomorph physique, like you're super strong. Like doing Pilates and yoga is going to be great forms of movement for you, great forms of exercise, but it's not training. It's not going to elicit a change in your body type. It's not leaning into the things that you already have, which is a lot of type 2 muscle fibers, a lot of physical strength. If you don't lean into those strengths, then your body's not going to react and not going to thank you. It's going to do the complete opposite. You're going to waste your time. And that's not to mean to say if you're like an endomorph that you can't enjoy Pilates and yoga and, you know, meditation. All of those things are part of a holistic lifestyle. If we're talking about being physical and physical training and wanting to get the most bang from our buck, from our exercise, from our training, then you have to get more specific and you have to look at your body type and what it's capable of. And, you know, people always say to me, oh, like, how many marathons have you run? And I'm like, none, because that's not what type of athlete I am. I'm a heptathlete. The heptathlon, the high jump, the long jump, the shot put, the javelin, they are power events. Like releasing a javelin takes place over like 2 seconds. That is a power event. It's over and done with. Like, I have to be powerful and strong, speed and strength for a very short amount of time. So by the time the 800 meters comes around, that's a 2 minute endurance event. Not for me. I don't like it. Worst event. I can honestly say that. I don't like running long distances. So everyone's like, oh, you're not going to run a marathon because you're a runner. Absolutely not. My body doesn't like it. It doesn't want any part of it. Like, to run a marathon to me would be to break down the fundamentals of who I am as an athlete. And I'm a purist at heart. So if you're a strong athlete, train strength. If you're an endurance athlete, an ectomorph, tall, then struggle to put on weight, then train for endurance. If you are mesomorph, which is basically my physique, your physique, you can dibble dally. You can go in the middle. You can do endurance. You can enjoy Pilates. You can enjoy strength training. You can enjoy power training. All of those things are going to make you a more robust and more physical, happier athlete. And these are the things when I say weighing and sizing people up that I mean. And so it really is just about figuring out the type of athlete that you are and exploring that and not, you know, allowing your friend to drag you into a class that doesn't feel right for you.
Yeah.
Really tune into what is my body like? What feels good? And this is a really interesting one because in America, you guys love, like, there's have this love-hate relationship with running. And I believe it's because you all have to run laps, like when you're younger. Mm-hmm. So I think that that is just a horrible thing to make a young athlete do because you're naturally either going to be good at it and love it or be crap at it and hate it. And if you're out there and you hated running laps, you're probably a sprinter. Simple as that. Like, doesn't mean you hate running, just means you like to run short distances like me. So come join me. We'll run together.
There you go. You heard it here first. Mm-hmm. I love that you believe that everybody is an athlete. It's so interesting. When I was little, I grew up in East LA and chaotic environment, and, you know, physical education wasn't necessarily like a big thing. I didn't grow up being athletic or anything like that and play sports, but I always wanted to, like, I always wanted to be physical, you know. And I remember in junior high, so I would have been like 12, 13. I really enjoyed running. Like, I hated it, but I hated it because everybody else hated it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when I did it, I felt good. And I think it was just like the endorphins, right? Yeah. Of just feeling. And I remember, you know, they do this test in the beginning of the year to kind of place you and see where you are. And I remember doing my first run, and our teacher was like, yeah, running's not for you. Cause you're bottom heavy. So you're not a good runner. Like, that's not.
Oof.
Right.
Look at all of the Jamaican sprinters. They're all bottom heavy and they're the fastest in the world. Not this year, this Olympic cycle, but the last Olympic cycle.
Yeah. Well, it's those types of things too, as you're growing up, you know, as a kid, you know, those things kind of stay with you. It's like, oh, I'm not good at athletics. Like, yeah. I'm not good at sports. So I have to find something else. Right. So I love the idea of feeling, you know, and it's like I told you, I've run marathons and I'm good. I did it. I'm retired now. I'm a retired runner, but I actually am curious to ask you about this whole idea of, you know, talking about weight loss right now. Mm-hmm. That this is sort of like what's coming up for me. The whole cardio obsessed culture that people think that.
Yeah.
What can you talk about that?
Like, yeah, absolutely. Like, it's a safety net. It's as simple as that. You know, I'm hearing you talk about, you know, the teacher or whatever that said that you were bottom heavy and therefore not a runner. What a disservice to you. What a disservice to perhaps many other women for not having an education that enables you to understand that whilst, you know, homegirl might not be a distance runner, but she's proven you wrong because she's run marathons, she might just excel at something different on the on the track and field scene. So first and foremost, what a disservice. Shame on you, teacher, for not knowing better. Secondly, cardio is an amazing tool. We all need it. Like, the whole purpose of cardiovascular training is to give your heart and lungs strength. Like, you know, what better system to be working on a daily basis? Like, that's going to give you longevity. Surely, you know, that's part of it, but it can't be the whole thing. And I think the reason that we women tend to stay with cardio is because it's a safety net. It's the one thing that we have experienced a lot of. It's really easy. Mm-hmm. Machines are super easy to jump on. You just press the green button, you pick the speed or the incline, or and that's it. You're off. There's nothing else to think about, you know, and so it's uncomplicated. So if you're a woman who's stepping foot into the gym for the first time, you're going to go towards the thing that makes you feel the safest. And the thing that makes you feel the safest isn't necessarily the thing that's going to get you to your goals. Now think about it. Like, let's, you know, we'll take this out of the equation of like weight loss. Let's say you wanted to build your bank account and you wanted to save money. You would have to sacrifice some spending. You would have to step out of your comfort zone. For me, like, if I wanted to save money, I'd probably have to cook every night. You know what I mean? It would be uncomfortable. You've got to like spend, you know what I mean? You've got to make yourself uncomfortable somewhere. And it's the same when it comes to weight loss. You have to be, and I want to say fat loss, not weight loss. I'll talk about that in a minute. Because you want to understand that playing it safe when it comes to your exercise doesn't do anything for you. You could get on the treadmill and do like 60 minutes. You're in a cycle of just maintenance. You're not getting any better. Your heart and lungs aren't getting conditioned to get any stronger. You're literally just staying at the same level of fitness. And if you want to maintain your level of fitness, bravo. That's an amazing thing to be doing for yourself. If you want to get better, if you want to lose fat, if you want to build muscle, if you want to feel stronger, then you have to stimulate and elicit a growth response. Therefore, you have to push your body. You have to increase the intensity via load, duration, complexity. And so these are the things that I think women are missing when it comes to just staying in that cardio zone. So I ask and urge and compel all of you out there, if you have been stuck on the cardiovascular machines for too long, jump into a class. What's the next safest thing for you? I don't expect you to strut up to like the dumbbell rack, you know what I mean, and start just heaving weights. That might be a step too far, unless you want to, unless you're feeling bold that day, go ahead. But like, start small. What's the next thing that's going to get you out of your comfort zone? If you're walking, is it running on the treadmill? Is it running away from the treadmill to a class? Is it, you know, perhaps chatting to someone who's lifting like free weights? Chat to another person in the gym who looks like they know what the hell they're doing and just be like, compliment them. I've seen you doing that for a while now. Like, what got you into it? Give me some information. You'll be surprised how many people in the gym love to talk about themselves. Like, I'm one of them. You could stop me anytime, anytime in the gym. I'll give you all the advice like you did at the party. You know?
Yeah, totally.
That's how we met.
Yeah. And I love that. And I definitely want to talk about this idea of fat loss and weight loss. And I'm just laughing right now because, you know, Lulu's sitting here chatting about, oh, you go up to somebody while they're working out. I was doing my workout at Slay and she came up and she's talking to me and I'm literally trying to have a conversation and not like, I was trying to just catch my breath. I'm so fucking sore. Oh God. I'm just like, yeah, like trying to, you know, keep up, you know, like lifting these heavy weights.
You were
weights.
Killing it. You were killing it.
It was,
you're doing single leg Bulgarian split squats. Oh, and I was like, how's it going, Rosie? So she's like, yep. It's like nothing to see over here.
No, but it's amazing. But I do feel so much stronger. And I think it does create a different experience physiologically. And I don't know, like in my mind, especially after being postmenopausal, right? Mm. I felt like, am I this sort of idea in my mind of like not having an idealized body vision, but definitely feeling like, yeah, I've never been able to get to a place of fitness where I felt like, wow, like I'm an athlete, you know, like I'm at performance level, you know, I admire, and you know, like I've taught, you know, NFL champions, Olympic athletes, you know, in teaching mindfulness, you know, or teaching meditation. It's like, that's my zone of genius, you know, like that mindset. I got that all day long. We can talk about it. You know, I can even get philosophical. We can even go, you know, into, you know, a deep state of inquiry, all of those things. But when it comes to the physical part, I think a lot of that sort of childhood template has stayed with me, right? Like I'm not an athlete. Even after running marathons, you know, like I feel like, yeah, I'm just not an athlete. Like that's just not who I am, right? But I feel, she's smiling.
I'm smiling.
I feel like now, especially this year, and you've seen like the transformation that I've been through, I'm starting to feel like, okay, like I believe I'm going to buy into what you're selling, you know?
I mean, you've been an athlete, Rosie. You've been an athlete. Like the thing that separates the everyday athlete from the world-class athlete is talent and mindset. Like you have an abundance of both of those things and your mindset is dialed in. And so now it's really just a case of doing the physical work, which you've already been doing. Like you had, you know, when we were talking, you said that you got to where you got to in your transformation doing just Pilates and like walking.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo.
Yeah, she was in shock.
I don't believe it.
She could not believe it.
And yeah. So again, the mindset, the consistency, and we talked about this, the importance, and that's what, you know, elite athletes do. We show up every single day. We do the same thing. We don't have to worry about our bodies because we're just being consistent every day. We don't have to worry about it. Our diets don't fluctuate massively. We do eat McDonald's. We do eat shit foods. Like we're not 100% of the time at our best. We have to be 100% on the day. So we keep it like 80%, like for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15 years. And so that's really the key. And that's what the fitness industry is not telling you, but that's what the professionals should be telling you. You need to be able to sustain the habits that you have today for the next 15 years, the healthy habits. And if your habits aren't healthy, trust me, you probably won't even live to that 15 years. So if you think, stop thinking about like the short term, start thinking about, you know, if I had to eat this meal or the, you know, the way I ate this week for the next 15 years, what would I expect the outcome to be? Mm. You know?
Yeah. People don't think about it long term.
Absolutely.
We're just thinking about the short term most of the time. Talking about short term, let's talk about fat loss versus weight loss.
Yeah. What do you want to know? My favorite topic.
I mean, obviously in society, we're so, you know, everything's weight loss. Lose weight quick.
Yeah, it's wild.
Everything is like lose weight and weight loss in 14 days or in 21 days. Yeah. It's like all this sort of importance on the weight loss.
And the time frame.
And the time frame.
It's crazy because we have to weigh something, don't we? Do you know what I mean? So it's like, why, you know, first and foremost, weight loss is a term that needs to be banished. Not banished, banished. Let's banish weight loss. Because what does it mean? It means that if I get on the scale and the number is lower than it was yesterday, I'm going to congratulate myself. I've done a good job. This is what we've all been, you know, taught because I've lost weight. Well, why is that a good thing? You might have lost muscle. If you're losing muscle mass, and we talk about, you know, post-menopause and aging, muscle mass, we know, is the fundamental thing that is going to keep you healthy for longer. When you get to your 50s, 60s, you want to make sure you've got like a great amount of muscle mass. It's going to stop you from falls. It's going to help keep your metabolism really high. It's the number one thing that's going to keep you living a healthy life in the long term. We're talking about like health span. And so therefore, if you got on the scale and you dropped, and we don't know because we're only really looking at the number, you could have dropped a pound of water. It could be a pound of muscle or it could be a pound of fat. So first and foremost, you don't know what weight you've lost. You might be going in the complete opposite direction to what you think you want for your body. And so first and foremost, we don't know enough about what it is we really need. And what we think we want is just a lower number on the scale.
Right.
What we actually want probably is to weigh the same, but actually to have dropped 5 pounds of fat.
Yeah.
and maybe like retain 2 or 3 more pounds of muscle. And that gives the body a completely different physique. So when it comes to weight loss, ladies, you got to educate yourselves. Like, weight loss is comes and goes. This is why it fluctuates. This is why it's not sustainable. Like, losing 10 pounds in 2 weeks, you're probably losing like 4 pounds of water. If you're, you know, severely cutting those calories, you're probably losing another 2 pounds of like muscle mass. And then, you know, the rest might be fat mass. But the way in which the body composition can change week to week. And I was just talking about this online. One of my clients went on a cleanse, a juice cleanse for like 5 days.
How lost do you feel about juice cleanse?
Absolute trash. You know, and I've done them before myself. Like when my IBS was really bad, like I got to the point where anything I put in my system would irritate my gut. And so I remember having to kick it back to like a juice cleanse for like a week. And yes, it did calm my gut down. And it gave me the ability to kind of like start from a kind of baseline. But I could have done that with foods that weren't aggravating my stomach. And I found that actually mashed potato and salmon actually do the same effect for me, but help me to keep my muscle mass. But long story short, my client lost 10 pounds, lost literally maybe like 5 pounds of 5 pounds of water, like 2 pounds of muscle, 3 pounds of fat, and then gained 12 pounds back within a week, 2 weeks. And I said, this is, you know, you do know that you're going to rebound back, you know. And so juice cleanses, extreme calorie deficits, things that cause fast, quick weight loss, they're just smoke and mirrors. You want to focus, if you genuinely have a transformative aesthetic goal, and also health goal, because let's be real, like, I feel like we need to destigmatize the term fat. Yes. I feel like everyone's so scared of the term fat. Like fat. We need to eat fat. It keeps us warm. Fat helps us unlock vitamins and minerals in our system, keeps our immune system functioning. Fat, too much of it will cause, you know, underlying health conditions, can cause type 2 diabetes, can cause heart disease. Like, we have to really allow ourselves to be open to the functions of the body. And so if you're a person who has excess fat to lose, to a point where it's, you know, your health is at risk, or if you want to lose fat because you want to improve the way you look and improve the way you feel, all of those things are totally fine. Like, let's stop hating on people who want to feel better on a daily basis, you know, who want to like get up and feel empowered, who want to feel stronger, who want to live longer. Like, that's just not the way forward. So weight loss and fat loss. Fat loss requires you to do a completely opposite thing to weight loss. Weight loss requires you to just cut all calories, like cut them, don't care where you're cutting them from. Fat loss requires you to fuel your body. So this is not eating, this is eating. And both of them will bring about, more importantly, fat loss will bring about a reduction in your overall mass, a retention in lean muscle mass, and a reduction in fat mass. And that's what we women need to be focusing on when we're feeling unhappy with our bodies, when we're desiring change, when we're thinking about, you know, living healthier and longer lives. We should be focusing on the things that cause fat loss, increasing the protein in our diet, making sure that we get 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight every single day. Yes, every single day. No excuses of, oh, but it's so hard. Yeah, it's really hard. But also running a marathon is extremely difficult. Yeah. Eating protein is eating. Mm-hmm. That should make you happy. I love food, you know. And the thing that we have to balance is our carbohydrates and fats. You know, just this morning I was chatting to one of my older clients and she was like, oh, you know, I had some rice. I was like, yeah. She was like, oh, that's naughty. I was like, well, what was in this rice to make it so naughty? I was like, oh gosh, just, you know, because it's carbs, isn't it? I was like, yeah. And she was just like, well, they're so bad for you. I'm like, no, they're not bad for you. Like, you're a really busy woman. You need the energy. They're not bad for you at all. Like, I said, it's really about dosage.
Yeah.
You know, anything in too much dose is bad for you, you know? Even cuddles. No, I lie. You can never have enough cuddles.
I love cuddling. Mm-hmm. No, this is so, I mean, look, everything that you're saying, I'm so here for it. You know, especially people that I've been talking to that have been on this like perimenopause and menopause journey. I think the belief is, oh, I've gained weight. It's inevitable. My metabolism's changing. It's all downhill. You know, it's my hormones. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So I'd like for you to share, you know, if you work with menopausal women, I know you do, mm-hmm. what do you see as far as being able to do all of the things that you just said mm-hmm. when you are in menopause?
I think the first and foremost, you need to know that it's happening to your body. You need to be aware from the get-go that this is happening to me. You need to be aware of the symptoms. So we're talking about like mood swings. This is one of the things that affects a lot of my clients deeply. You know, a sensation that you're going absolutely crazy. You're going to get perhaps those hot flushes. You're going to might even be experiencing vaginal dryness, low libido. Like there are so many things that are coming on. And, you know, we've got clients who are in their 40s that are starting to experience some of these symptoms. Recognizing them early on and making sure that you're linked up with a great hormone doctor, like Dr. Jess Shepherd, who we have had on our podcast and is also your doctor. Put yourself in the hands of an expert early on. And we talked about this the other day, literally just did my blood yesterday with Function Health. So I'm getting 100 lab markers. They took 10 vials of blood. And now I have the power to see what my estrogen is doing over the course of the next 10 years. You know, I'm going to take that test twice a year so I can monitor my estrogen levels because, of course, you know, as you go into perimenopause, that estrogen starts to drop. And you might need to look at things like HRT, hormone replacement therapy. So for those women who are going through menopause, one of the interesting things I was reading this week about menopause is that actually men and women at that age gain fat at the same rate. So actually, we're just gaining fat as we age because we're basically losing muscle mass. But typically, women that are going through perimenopause, the distribution of fat starts to change. So what you then see is an increase in visceral fat and more in particular, abdominal fat. And so those are basically signs that, yep, you know what I mean? You've entered into perimenopause, but more importantly, you need to be doing the things that counter, like balance, you know, the effects of aging and perimenopause. So what are we talking about? Every woman needs to be training weights. They need to be doing resistance training, lifting heavy weights multiple times a week, 2 to 3 times a week. Why? Because it's going to preserve your lean muscle mass. And your lean muscle mass is crucial to your metabolic function, your metabolism. Everyone's like, I've got a fast or slow metabolism. No, you don't. It's either high or low. And if it's low, it's because you have a low amount of lean muscle mass on your body. So that means that your body basically is not burning as many calories in a resting state per day as someone who has the same height, same weight as a person who has more muscle mass. That's purely the difference. So you have to focus on your metabolic health, especially in perimenopause. What are the things that help to help boost that metabolic health? Alcohol is going to kill your metabolism.
Oh, here we go. Okay,
it's gonna kill your metabolism. And I hate to say this because I have to get really real. Like,
let's do it.
Okay, we're women. We like wine. I don't drink. It's easy for me to sit here and spout all of the alcohol, like, you know. But I did grow up in a pub, so, and also I work with women every single day. Alcohol is going to kill your metabolism. It's going to impair your sleep, which is going to reduce your body's ability to repair and recover. Your body's also going to be processing the alcohol and therefore storing fat. So any surplus in energy is then going to be stored probably in the places where you don't want it. So the best thing that you can do for yourself when you're going through perimenopause, if you want to avoid the additional weight gain, if you want to focus on increasing your overall health and lifespan, is to ditch the drink completely. If you don't want to ditch the drink completely, if you feel like that's too extreme a measure, then you need to make sure that you have a boundary when it comes to alcohol and a limit of like, you don't need to be drinking.
What does that look like?
No more than 2 drinks in a setting. And like, also that means you can't have two drinks every single night of the week. Like, aim for 4 units a week, start there, and then start to reduce that amount, depending on how you feel, depending on how it makes you feel the next day. If you're waking up feeling groggy, brain fog, because let's talk about that's a whole other symptom, and which is going to be exacerbated by the fact that your body doesn't have enough sleep and the ability to fully recover.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the people that have, I've tried everything, well, have you tried weight training? Have you tried getting an adequate amount of daily protein and giving up alcohol? Because just these three lifestyle habits will change the way you feel, the way you look, and will give you the longevity that your body deserves.
I mean, we're dropping some major
truth bombs.
Major truth bombs. I want to talk about one final thing just to loop it back, because you talked about it. And I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be a little unhappy about hearing that they're going to have to take out alcohol.
I mean, they don't have to take out alcohol, but if they want change, then they're going to have to change the habits.
What is your thoughts on sugar?
In moderation. Again, it's really all about dosage.
Okay.
So for me, like, I love sweet treats. Like, I love a good Danish pastry on the weekend. Like, there's just certain things in my diet. You know, it doesn't matter whether I'm building muscle, losing fat. The one thing that I always make sure that I have in my diet is a bowl of Frosties. Oh, and that's just literally a bowl of sugar, you know. So also on my plate, there's protein and there's vegetables and there's all of those things. And so am I anti-sugar? Absolutely not. Am I the right dosage? 100%. And whatever that is for you and your goals, you know. And that's the thing. I think, you know, we can sit here and spout health things, but if your goal is, if you don't have any health and fitness goals, have at it.
Have at it.
You know,
exactly.
If you're like, yo, I just want to live my life, live your life.
Yeah.
If your life is making you feel good, but if you want deep down change, then it's going to require work and effort and time and thought.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's the real challenging thing. But, you know, there are amazing experts, amazing apps, amazing gyms, amazing resources, people like me that are here to help you make the right decisions and save you time and make sure you don't have to think so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for saying that. Oh, I can literally talk to you for hours. I have one final thing. I mean, I wouldn't be a good mindfulness guide if I didn't ask you about mindset. And you did say something that really stayed with me when you were talking about your friend and the trashy man. I won't say naughty magazines. That's something different here in the US. Mm-hmm. but the trashy magazines that were showing, you know, all those pictures. Now we have social media.
Yes.
And so would you say that the same consumption result or the same consumption of what we're seeing on social media is going to make us feel the same way that those magazines felt?
And it's worse.
Yeah. So how do we navigate that minefield, especially when we're talking about, you know, body image or, you know, these sort of, you know, ideas of, like, I don't want to say weight loss now, body transformations. If you're wanting to transform your body and you're, you know, have these aspirations of being at your optimum health, how do you navigate the minefield that is social media?
First and foremost, I think social media is worse than magazines were 15 years ago because the speed at which we can get this information, it's coming at us like a cannonball. Like, that Explorer feed is literally pumping drugs to you, dopamine to your brain every single time. And you're going to have positive and negative reactions to what you're seeing. So it's worse. Like, we're having to deal and filter so much information every single day. What can you be doing for yourself? Well, first and foremost, if you do have aspirational goals, that's fucking awesome. Like, you want better for yourself. Like, I don't think there's a person in this world that doesn't want better for themselves in some way, shape or form, whether it be their body, whether it be their bank account, whether it be their health, whether it be their family. You know, that's an amazing thing. And the key is really, what does that aspiration look like to you? So, like, you know, let's reduce it down to like a handbag. you've got your purse that you carry around every single day. My purse is like $15. And, you know, we know probably the most expensive bag in the world, let's just say a Hermes Birkin. Are you going to want to see an Hermes on your screen every single day? Or do you just want to see the purse that's like $150? You know, like, is the Hermes going to make you, is it going to, you know, is it unattainable? Is it going to make you feel bad? Or are you going to feel empowered to go and get that Hermes? And so the key is, what do you react to? What are these images of aspiration? What does that do to you? What does it do to your physiology? Does it make you feel sick to your stomach? Does it make you feel jealous? Do you feel negative feelings? Or do you feel like, yo, I'm going to go get me the bag, you know? And so that therein tells you everything you need. If the images of the Hermes are making you feel sick, then remove them from your page. Unfollow the accounts. Like, I recently, literally just this past couple weekends, just did kind of a social media overhaul. And I realized I was following a lot of news outlets. And I was like, no, 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 no. And I think I might have culled around about 1,000 accounts that I was following, because I was just not aligning with the content anymore. I wanted my feed. I wanted to see more of the people that I love. I'm like, oh my God, now all of a sudden people from years ago are popping up on my feed. And it just, and you know, it's making me feel way more connected as opposed to disconnected. And so it really is, you have to really think about, how am I feeling as a result of all this information? And more importantly, understand that you are feeding that algorithm.
Wow. Oh. Thank you so much. Oh, this has been so enlightening and insightful, and I'm so grateful for you. I'm grateful for all the work that you're doing, and I'm just so grateful that we were able to connect. Yeah. I'm so, so looking forward to this next transformation.
I'm so excited for you. Like, so, Rosie, you are on to the next chapter, my friend.
So if, for those of you that are watching this, I will be posting today when this podcast is out in the world on my Instagram feed. You will see my before and after from working out at Lulu's gym. So check it out. Body by Slay.
Hey.
So for the people that want to stay connected with you, where can they go for more information?
Well, you can find me at Louise Hazel on social media, and then you can find the gym and our brand at Slay Athletic Club on social media as well.
And we will put those links in the show notes. If you're watching this on YouTube, just look at the description below and you can get all of those links below. Thank you so much for being here and for tuning in to the Radically Well podcast. We look forward to seeing you all back soon. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the Radically Well podcast. This podcast is produced by Rosie Acosta and Tessa Tovar. Production by Sapphiris Media. Music by Monogram Sound. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.